This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March 22nd, 2013, here for another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. And we are well into free agency. And we're actually waiting now on what Bill Belichick projected at the NFL owners' meetings would be a second flurry of signings across the league. A little of a slow period here as some of the hotter names went off the market, and now veterans are kind of scrambling to find homes and find some of the money that's left over. But for us, for the Patriots, we will do a quick rundown of all the press releases that the team put out. So some of these moves may have been reported previously, but they became official with the press releases from the team. March the 16th, Patriots released veteran wide receiver Brandon Lloyd, who was due a $3 million roster bonus. One season in New England, and depending on your perspective, successful, unsuccessful, average, fulfilled some goals, didn't. And we will discuss that in a minute, because the wide receiver position, very interesting, obviously, this offseason, as it remains a point of need for the Patriots. March 16th also saw a flurry of action in the defensive backfield. Patriots re-signed Kyle Arrington. 4 years, $16 million, $8 million-ish guaranteed. Paul Perillo will have something to say about that contract momentarily. But also that day, Aqib Talib was officially announced. 1 year, $5 million returning to the team. And the Patriots added a veteran safety, something a lot of fans wanted, in the form of Adrian Wilson, who is a 33-year-old veteran of 12 seasons. Obviously, he's a former Cardinal. Some fans may know that he's a freakish physique, who is a, I believe, four-time All-Pro, multi-time Pro Bowler in the desert. But don't feel bad if you didn't see a lot of it, because no one really sees a lot of Cardinals games. But Adrian Wilson in the fold. We'll talk about him in a minute. March the 18th, Patriots signed free agent tackle Will Svitek, I believe is how you say it.
Svitek. I believe that's correct.
31-year-old of 7 NFL seasons, former Chief and Falcon, 6'6", 308 pounds. Former six-round draft choice out of Stanford. I believe he was out of football on injured reserve with an arm injury last year. He was brought in and I would guess would compete for potentially the right tackle spot, depending on whether we mention Sebastian Vollmer on one of these podcasts in the coming weeks, as he remains a free agent.
Yeah.
March the 20th, Patriots re-signed a couple special teams slash fill-in backups slash camp bodies slash jacks of all trade.
That's a lot of slashes.
Cornerback Marquise Cole and linebacker Nico Koutavidis, a veteran, a special teamer who's played a little bit on defense. Cole obviously played a little bit more on defense, especially late in the year due to injury, and it didn't really work out all that well for him. Paul, let's get back where we started. Brandon Lloyd coming on the heels of the Wes Welker, Danny Amendola swap. You lose Lloyd. How concerned are you about the wide receiver depth chart right now?
A little bit. I do think there'll be more moves coming. You mentioned, you know, depending on your perspective, disappointing, successful season. Well, it doesn't really matter what our perspective is, but the Patriots' perspective was disappointing.
Right.
Because they let him go.
Correct.
I think they answered that question. They didn't think they got as much out of him as they were hoping to.
And with nothing.
No money.
No player.
Yeah.
No, like, oh, we drafted this guy and he needs to play, so you got to go.
No replacement and not a whole lot of money, preventing him from being here. So, yeah, I feel like there's certainly room right now. You just have Amendola. They signed Donald Jones, who we talked about a little bit last week. Not a lot of proven commodities, and certainly not a lot of guys who've caught passes from Tom Brady. You're dealing with the tight ends, I think, at this point, and maybe some running backs. But that's an area of concern. I'm not overly worried about it, only because you have the draft. You still have, as you set the table, Andy, with second wave of free agency that we're expecting. Maybe there's a veteran that comes in. I'm pretty certain there'll be a draft pick that comes in.
I'm not excited.
I'm not all that concerned about it.
I'm almost hoping that there really isn't a proven commodity, so that that draft pick may really not only get the chance, but yeah, have to be forced into. And Brady and McDaniels and company will be forced into helping him get acclimated, sort of the way they did with Brandon Lloyd last year. I'd like to see that with a young guy, and as everyone knows, my guy is Terrence Williams out of Baylor. I'd like to see him in the second round. Let's go to the secondary, where I know you have some pause, I guess, some concern about the amount of money given to Kyle Arrington, who I will say is, all things coming perfectly, if Tlaib is obviously here and playing and doing his job, if Dennard stays out of jail and is here doing his job, obviously you're signing Arrington, I think, to be your slot corner. $8 million guaranteed, $16 million over 4 years, in a year that, you know, corners, starting caliber corners like Tlaib, were getting 1 year $5 million. I think there's a reason to be concerned or sort of curious where that money, whether it was well spent or not. So what's your thought on that?
Yeah, and I don't mind. I want to state at the beginning, I don't mind when they pay what I deem to be a little bit more. And I think that it's a little bit striking for me because I think the Patriots so infrequently do that. And that's why I think it caught me by surprise a little bit. It's a little bit more money than I thought. I just don't think Kyle Arrington is a guy that you make an exception for. Like, we have to have this guy back. You know, we're going to re-sign Logan Mankins because we think he's a special player. And we're going to re-sign Vince Wilfork because we think he's a special player. Kyle Arrington, not anywhere near that kind of money, but the same principles are involved here. It's a guy that they deemed important enough to re-sign, and I think spent a little bit more money than, as you said, most of the cornerbacks on this market, and not just Aqib Tlaib, who had baggage. A lot of the cornerbacks that signed this year didn't sign for much more than Kyle Arrington, and I don't view him as a frontline player in the league. I think it, as you said, slot corner, and that's the role that I think on the outside he's below average. As a slot corner, he's probably average.
You say we don't frequently see them overpay, but it seems like the secondary and pass rusher, and I'm thinking obviously of two deals. James Sanders was one of them, and Tully Bantakane was another. The two positions that they've struggled to fill for going on half a decade now, they've overpaid there to keep their guys that they think are competitive or have at least shown something in their system, because maybe they've struggled to bring guys in who were able to do anything in their system.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on the secondary part. I think that Sanders is a very similar contract to this one to me. It was curious, but there were a lot of other examples of guys that just let go because I think they're not willing to do that. You know, guys like Asante Samuel.
But that's big money. Yeah. I'm talking about overpaying for borderline starter.
See, I would rather overpay for a guy who I think is a frontline starter than overpay for a secondary.
But they don't.
Guy.
That falls in line with their thinking of
I think
they'd
Sanders
rather overpay
deal,
for cheap guys than one expensive guy.
You know, I think the Sanders deal was curious. And you know that James Sanders is a guy that we like a lot. I thought he was a solid player, but not a guy, and what ends up happening a couple of years after he signs that deal is he's not worth $4 million a year or whatever it was that he got, and they end up letting him go. Brandon Merriweather, they didn't give the second contract to either, you know, as a second, you know, sort of a secondary guy, you know, not a frontline star, but, you know, a guy who had started for you and was in your pit. They didn't re-sign him either. I think it's the abnormality to me is Sanders and now Arrington and not the rule.
Oh, it's certainly not the rule, but I think it's the rule for their second-tier players. I've always criticized them for overpaying for guys because they're just guys. You can replace them. Now, they'll probably tell you, you know, James Sanders, well, Atlanta was going to give him the same contract, and they'll probably have a Kyle Arrington. You know, Philadelphia was going to give him the same contract.
And that's part of it. What bothers me is because they look down and they see, like, well, this is a guy who had, you know, 87% play time, and his production was in line with this guy and that guy. And I just say, stop. And tell me if you think this guy is as good as that guy that you're comparing him to.
Right.
And if the answer to that is yes, by all means, give him the contract. But I, you know, the comps to me on paper aren't necessarily the same comp that I would look in practicality.
I agree.
With your eyeball.
I agree. I'm not a big fan of the Excel spreadsheet comp. Doesn't really do it for me. Moving on to the Svitek. Where's he from? Do we know that?
What, the college?
No. I mean, like, what is Svitek?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Doesn't say it here in the release. But, you know, the interesting tie-in here is they gave him some guaranteed money, which I found surprising for a guy who was out of football last year.
Well, he was hurt last year, right?
Yeah. But to me, that's out of, you know, to give a guy who's a Jag, and no offense to his family,
yeah, he's got,
the guy
like,
has 16 starts in 60
starts.
Games.
Yeah.
And you missed all of last year with an injury. To give that guy guaranteed money is a little surprising.
Yeah, I just
me.
Didn't want to make it sound like
no.
He couldn't get a job and get invited to camp last year and he was out of football.
Yeah.
Like David Garrard.
I think he's one of those guys that if he wasn't on IR could have very well been out of football. I think he stole a paycheck being on IR.
Maybe.
And I just wonder how this ties in. Obviously, we give Dante Scarnecchia the utmost confidence that he can develop anybody or plug anybody in at any position and it'll work. Because I was actually trying to think the other day, when has it failed? When has he failed miserably that he put a guy in the starting lineup or put a guy on the field and it just absolutely failed? And I was really struggling to come up with an answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody that comes to mind immediately. I mean, they've had some guys that went in and didn't play very well.
But
I can't think of a long-term guy that had to get plugged in for 3, 4, 5 weeks
and it didn't work.
Just didn't work.
Like,
I can't think of one.
It ruined the offense. I don't remember it. But Svitek obviously is tied into Sebastian Vollmer, who remains a free agent and remains, as far as I can tell, getting no interest. You know, you don't read any visits, any anything. And now, you know, my understanding is he wants to be back here. But my understanding was, sort of like Wes Welker, he wants to be back here and get paid. And, you know, as this market settles in, I'm starting to wonder whether he, sort of like a Talib or some of these other guys, is going to say, there's just not that much out there. I got to prove myself for one more year. And he might not be brought back on a one-year deal for, you know, short money. Because I think everybody thought he was going to get solid right tackle money, which has been contracts that have been like 35 million over 7 years, or, you know, five, six, 7 million a year ranges. And I think it's clear he's not going to get that. And now he might, as I said, need to just come back on a 1 year deal. And do you want him back, first of all?
I want him back, and I want him back exactly that way. The Aqib Talib situation, for different reasons,
right,
works very much for me in this situation. Give him, you know, 5 million or whatever, and let's have him back for a year. And I think you were saying, we were talking on PFW in Progress, and you brought up, you know, can he play? You know, I'm going to show you. I'll play 15 games. I'll play 16 games. I'll prove it to you again. And then if you think that, and you know how he went about playing the 15 games too, and that's part of this too. You know, some other team might look and say, you know, again, on paper, played 15 games, whereas the Patriots know how tenuous those 15 games were. And we saw some anonymous scout work. Greg Bedard had some quotes from an anonymous scout talking about preparing to play them and how bad he was in the playoffs. That's not because of his ability.
Right.
That's,
didn't look like himself.
That's physical.
Right.
And the Patriots know, yeah, he played 15 games, but in 6 or 7 of those, he was really compromised. And maybe that's what's sort of scaring them away.
And he did have knee surgery this offseason, so that could be another wrinkle. Even teams that want to bring him in to work him out, I don't know what his health status is, you know, based on the knee in the offseason procedure in terms of bringing him in. So it'd be interesting to see how that right tackle spot shakes down.
Right.
As far as the special teamers go, Marquise Cole, Nico Kudavides, they'll be back. They'll be in training camp. That's all I can guarantee at this point. You know, I certainly don't think.
I'll guarantee you that Kudavides gets cut and comes back at some point.
Well,
Nico Suave.
That's good to know. And then elsewhere in free agency, Danny Woodhead gone to the San Diego Chargers. 1 year, 2 years, $3 million-ish and change, $1 million guaranteed. Leaves sort of Shane Vereen to ascend to that lead third down back type role, change of pace guy. Something I am very much intrigued by. But the other rumors and visits, nothing has happened in the week since we last spoke. While there were reports last week that John Abraham was going to be a Patriot, he still is not.
And we told you to hold on.
Yes.
Last week, we told you to hold on. And
he didn't
we're
hold
still
on
holding
in Foxborough.
On for a week.
He left town without a deal. Dwight Freeney left town without a deal. Elvis Dumervil was thrown into the mix, sort of muddied the water a little bit. OCU Mignora is still out there, visited Atlanta, I believe. Seems like there's sort of a cyclical trend here. The Ravens, the Patriots, the Broncos, some teams sort of looking in the same pool of talent for a pass rusher. But as of yet, none of those dominoes have fallen the Patriots' way or any other team's way at this point.
And with Abraham and Freeney, they went to Denver, evidently, and they have left Denver without contracts. So any and all of these guys, I think, remain options for the Patriots.
Indeed. And I'm guessing they're going to get one. They will get a veteran pass rusher.
I don't know his name just yet.
I don't know what order their preference is.
Who's the you put a blog post up just this morning. But another,
Vaughn Martin, defensive lineman, Chargers, Patriots rumored to be interested. Eric Winston, right tackle, Kansas City, Patriots rumored to be interested. And we're all about rumors and reports here. We'll be...
Sullivan's Tire Podcast. This is where we just throw every name out
That's right. We throw it out there.
If we heard the Patriots next to him, we're going to let you know about it.
And that way in a week we can say, see, we told you so. We had that name. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. We'll talk to you next week on another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast by Sullivan Tire.
This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, available at over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.